Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. I was just a little bit late this time. I have callers' numbers showing up on the screen. So what I need to ask someone to do, if your call, if your number is 504-421-4475, please press the 1 button and I know that I can hear, that you could hear me. Okay, thank you, Jesus. This is truly a day that God has made. We all should rejoice and be glad in it. I'm sorry that I got on a little late today, but we're going to go ahead and start the show. As I told you on last week, that we were going to do the book of Malachi, and that's what we will do. Our lesson tonight is going to be called There Is Nothing New Under the Sun. There is nothing new under the sun. And it's going to come from the book of Malachi. What I'm going to do right now is play a song so I could get some things together and get right back where we need to be. And you guys, right after that, I'm going to go ahead on with the thing, with the program. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage my choir in their farewell concert and recording, the Tri-City Singers. Put your hands together. Come on, choir. Let's encourage them out there. Let's tell them that the blessing of Abraham is on their life. Oh, my brothers and sisters, because you are in Christ, you are Abraham's heir. You have an inheritance on your life. You're the heir to the promise God made to Abraham. Go get your inheritance. Anybody gonna go get it out there? Here we go, y'all. Well, book. Score up them. Ah, somebody's going to walk out of here and go right into their inheritance. Come on, tell them what it is. Say it's children.
It's yours. It's yours.
Ah.
It's your inheritance.
Wave your hands so you know you're going to go get it.
To God. I'm ready now. What happened? I laid down and I didn't have that much time and I fell asleep, and when I got up it was a few minutes after 8:30, and of course I panicked and I came to the came in the station, and all you guys was in the station, but you couldn't be connected because I had never put my information in, and I had to wonder if you guys could hear me, and of course, I panic and was concerned. I ain't going to say panic, but concerned. But all through it all, it all worked out. I know that you guys are connected, and we're going to go ahead with this lesson. The title of the lesson tonight, again, is There is Nothing New Under the Sun. And it's going to be the first chapter of Malachi, verses 1 through 14. So if anyone would like to pray, you could press the 1 button on your phone. And if not, we're going to go ahead and lift up God in prayer, because he's showing that he's still working it out for our good. And he wants us to succeed in what we do. So I thank each and every guy, each and every one of you for waiting. When you couldn't get connected, and God is working it out, and everything is okay. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, the giver of every perfect gift, the God of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac, dear Heavenly Father, I am so glad that you are my God. I'm so glad for you. you being with us tonight with this program, dear God, and Holy Ghost, you showed up. You kept the people on the air, dear God, until I was able to get up and then get connected. And Lord, you're going to let your program go forward, and I pray that you do it with power, dear God. Holy Ghost, I pray that you don't allow the word to return void. Heavenly Father, I pray that each and every one of us that's listening on tonight be able to get a clear understanding of what thus saith the Lord. Heavenly Father, we're going to lean and depend on your unchanging hand, and we're going to allow you to have your way with this lesson tonight. All these blessings in Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. Well, the lesson is coming from Malachi. You know, a lot of the lessons that we do is we always teaching and learning about what Jesus did, you know, and then many scriptures bring us to let us know what Jesus is still doing in our lives, you know, and then, it, you know, a lot of scriptures tell us what Jesus is going to do for us in eternity once this life is over. But I came to tell you tonight that the Old Testament, in the Old Testament, God dwelt among his people. And in the New Testament, God dwells within his people. You see, in the Old Testament, God used to talk to his people. You know, he used to talk to Moses face to face. The people had a need, and they would go to the man of God, and the man of God would bring the request to God, and God would grant that request for his people. You know, when they was in the wilderness, he let them, you know, by a cloud, and then sometime he let them by a fire. He say when the cloud come up, he say you move and you follow it. God did all these type of things for his people in the Old Testament. When they was in the wilderness and got hungry, they asked him for food, and God allowed mammon to come from the sky. And when they got tired of just eating the mammon, they went back to the man of God, and the man of God went to God and told him the people requesting God allow birds to drop out of the sky. You see, God dwelt among his people. And then when they was thirsty, they talked to the man of God, and God gave him instructions, you know, for to hit the rock or to speak to the rock, and the water came up. You see, God was dwelling among his people, and he talked. You know, when Abraham went on the mountain to get the to talk with God, and God gave him the commandments. You see what I'm saying? In the Old Testament, God dwelt among his people. He was supposedly in the temple. He was supposedly in the Ark of the Covenant. And the temple, they had three phases, and some people could go to one, and other people could go to the other side, but nobody could go into the holiest of holiest because that's where God's presence was. Now, after Jesus came in the New Testament and we accept Christ as in our lives, he comes and he lives inside of us, inside of our heart. But you see, God used prophets in the Old Testament. Moses was really a prophet, but Moses is not listed with the prophets because when they had a prophet, they would get signs and dreams from God to tell the people. God spoke to them through signs and dreams, but you see, Moses, he didn't have a sign or a dream because he talked to God face to face. You know, in the Old Testament, there's 17 prophets, there are 12 major, there's 12 minor and 5 major prophets. And what makes a major a minor is the type, how much writing they wrote. But don't, you know, a lot of people, I guess I could say a lot of people get it twisted because they think that the minor prophets have a better place. The minor prophets are more authentic, have more power or something. But the thing that separates a minor prophet from a major prophet is how much writing they had. And the only true difference is that really and truly, God decided to reveal more information to the major prophets than he did to the minor. But one of them is not no better than the other one, and all of them spoke the word of God. You see, when we look at the book of Malachi, and it's a very short book, it's only four chapters, and the fourth chapter is only like a paragraph. See, Malachi had a message from God, and God was speaking to his nation. I pray that each and every one of you know that the Jews was God's chosen people, and he wanted a nation, and he made a nation that was from the 12 sons of Jacob, and they became the 12 tribes of Israel, what became the nation of God. And that was his promised people and his perfect, well, they weren't perfect, but he had a nation. You see, his words begin with the priests. When we start reading this book, what Malachi is speaking, he's going to first address the priests, and then he's going to address the people. But I want you to know tonight that when God gave a message to the prophets and the people were doing what God wanted or what God didn't, that's still a lesson for us. Because you see, Jesus said he didn't come to abolish the law, which is the Old Testament. He came to fulfill it. So things that God is telling Malachi, if we find ourselves doing some of them same things, those words are for us as well. If it's something that God was speaking to the prophet because the people were doing well, then you keep doing that because that pleased God. But as we see how God spoke to the prophet Malachi to give some information to the priests and the people, we have to examine ourselves and see if we could see some of the failures of these people in ourselves. You see, Malachi paints a picture of Israel's unfaithfulness that clearly show that the people were worthy of punishment. You think some of the things that people are doing these days, they're worthy for the wrath of God to be on them right now? There's nothing new under the sun. But if you look closely, you will see a message of hope, even in the midst of all of their mess, in the midst of all of their unfaithfulness, God has still given him hope. And I played that record, The Blessing of Abraham, because God made a promise to Abraham that he would make his heirs a nation and that he would choose his heirs to be the promised people. And God doesn't go back on his word. And part of God long-suffering with the Jewish people is because what he promised Abraham, and he told Abraham that I will never consume him, and to this day he haven't. God is a faithful God. So we're going to go ahead into the lesson tonight. And if you're in chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. And here we go. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you. See, when you're reading in the Old Testament and it says, they say the Lord, this is God actually talking to Malachi. I have loved you, said the Lord. And then the people turn around and say, and tell them, that y'all say, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? He tell them, I love you, and they going to ask him, where you loved us at? People. He said, was not Esau Jacob's brother? Said the Lord, God speaking. Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau. That was 3. And laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dungeons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom said, we are impoverished, but we will return and build a desolated place. Thus said the Lord of hosts. God is speaking. And he said, they shall build, but I will throw down, and they shall call them the borders of wickedness, and the people again whom the Lord has indignation forever. Okay, I would imagine if, you know, it's the first time that you read that and you don't have a lot of background, it'll be, like, really strange. But one thing we have to do is we have to learn to study the whole word. We have to learn to explore the whole Bible. If God made 66 books, he did it for a reason, and everything has something for you. Believe me, because God is a God of purpose. And once you really break it down, you'll see what's happening. You see, this scripture starts with the Lord having a burden, which lets us know the way the people were acting was a load or a burden to God. God had gotten tired. He went to his prophet Malachi to give a message to the people. He gave this message to his prophet Malachi to let the people know how he felt. He started his message with a message of love. Now, you see, isn't that how a parent would do? You know, sometimes a child is disobedient, and a loving parent started off in love. You see, boy, because I love you, that's why I'm going to do what I'm going to do. You know, you see, you could see the love of God. He started off with love. He said, you know, I've loved you. You see, the prophet gives God message of loving them, and here they turn around and have the audacity to say, where have you loved us? Do that sound like anybody you know? Do that sound like someone that's ungrateful? They were only thinking about what they wanted. You see, we always look to blame others for our consequences, not evaluating what part we have played in them ourselves. Now, God says Esau and Jacob were brothers. I hated Esau, but loved Jacob. You have to really know that when this statement was made, it's not to be taken literal. You see, this was a phrase that was used in the Hebrew culture. If a father had two sons and made one heir, and he said to love the one, that he made the heir and to hate the other. You see, that was just a saying. That was a phrase. You have to understand the culture. So God wasn't literally saying he hated Esau. God loved Esau. God loved Jacob, but Jacob became the heir, and that's the way, you know, the Hebrew custom and they do. You see, God chose, and even with him choosing Jacob over Esau, we have to remember that God chooses who he wants, when he wants, because he wants, because he's in total control. Some of the positions that you have, you wonder how you got there. And if you don't, I know I do. Because it's never because we're so good. It's never because we're so kind. It's not because we studied so much. It's not because we gave so much. But God is in control. And God has the power, the right to do as he please, because he is God. He's the creator. You see, God had chosen Jacob to receive the inheritance and all of his privileges. Now let's look at it for a while. You see, God now lets them know, I chose you. You didn't choose me. And just like us, we never went looking for God. God came looking for us. And because of that, just like he gave all of those privileges to Jacob, he's given that to you because you are special, and plenty of us don't even realize it. People don't realize how special they are, how much of God's blessing upon them, how much God promised to do for them if you would only obey and trust him. You see, Esau was really the firstborn. See, I got to get it in there so you can see if you're not familiar with the Old Testament writing. You see, Esau was really the firstborn, but he sold his birthright because he was hungry for a bowl of beans. He sold them to his brother Jacob. They were twins, and the Bible tells us while they was in their mother's womb, Esau was coming out as the firstborn. Jacob in the womb. It's in the Bible. Jacob grabbed his brother's foot and tried to pull him back so that he could be the firstborn. So it looked like it always was trying to happen. Now Esau was born first. He received the firstborn is entitled and in position to receive everything. But one day he went out hunting because Esau was a hunter and Jacob was a mama's boy. And Jacob was at home cooking with his mama and Esau was out hunting. And Esau came home and he was hungry. And his brother had cooked. And he asked his brother for some food. He said, I'll give it to you. Give me your birthright. Esau said, what sense it make for me to keep a birthright if I'm a die of being hungry right now? So he sold it. And that's how Jacob got it. You know, so you think God was a little displeased with Esau taking his birthright so lightly for a bowl of beans? And how many of us lose our place and position for silly things we do? You see, Jacob's name was changed to Israel, and Jacob's children became the 12 tribes of Israel. The chosen people of God, God-privileged Israelite nation, and also the Messiah would come from this nation. Hallelujah. God also allowed Esau to become a nation. You see, that's what I'm saying. He didn't hate him. And Esau nation became Edom. And when you see in this verse where he's talking about the wickedness and, I mean, the desolated places. You remember I told you that he was a hunter. So when they talk about the wilderness, you know, that's where they live, and that's what God was saying. You know, Edom is in the wilderness, and the people against whom the Lord had indignation forever, because Edom became the Israelites who was the chosen people, they became their worst enemy because of the rivalry and the things between the brothers. If you read the Old Testament, you see it get all right, but right now it wasn't. And God made him a nation as well. Because God chose Jacob and his descendants as the nation through whom the world would be blessed, God cared for them in a special way. And ironically, they rejected God after he chose them. And besides, like I said earlier, God made a promise to Abraham. And if he said it, it had to come to pass. You see, so sometimes you're living on somebody else's blessings. You know, some people don't pray for themselves, but their mama pray for them. Their daddy pray for them. You know, the prayers of the parents are over us and keeping us, you know. And that's what was happening to the Israelites, because God loved Abraham, and he made a promise for Abraham's heirs. God is really looking out for him, and everything he promised, it's going to come to pass. But I come to tell you tonight, everything that God said for you before the foundation of the world, it's going to come to pass. Everything God intended purpose for your life, it's going to come to pass. Now, you could be in the way and hindering it as far as the timetable, because we have to get in position to receive the things of God. Look at where you're at. Look at what you're doing. Look at what you need to do. Look at where you are and realize where you need to be so that you can receive all that God has in store for you. And if we go to the next verses, this is going to be 5, 6, 7, and 8. And what it says, and your eyes shall see, and ye shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the borders of Israel. God said, you're going to see. You're going to see what I'm working with. You say, and then he's go on in 6. And this is what he's telling them. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. Then if I be a father, this is God talking now, where is my honor? Remember, in the Old Testament, God dwelt and spoke to his prophets for his people. So when you see, thus saith the Lord, God is saying that. Now, I'm going to read it again because God is saying this. And your eyes shall see, and ye shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the borders of Israel. And then God go on to say, a son honored his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? God saying, if you could do all of that for the earthly, what about me, the heavenly father, the one who gave you life? Come on now. And if I be a master, where is my fear? Said the Lord of hosts unto you. Then he goes on with in the first, when he said he was burdened, and he told the prophet that he had to say this because the people weren't fainting. This is what he said. O priests that despise my name. He told a priest, you despise my name. And here we go again. People are just people. And the priest said, where have we despised your name? Then God said, ye offer polluted bread on my altar. And then they turn around and say, wherein has we polluted thee? And what ye say? And then God tell them, the tables, this is still them talking, I'm sorry. They say, the tables of the Lord is contemptible. What they saying, all that you want us to do is just too much. You have too much you want us to do. Now, this is, they talking to God who gave them breath. They talking to God that gave them life. They talking to God that brought them out the wilderness. They talking to God that parted the Red Sea. They talking to the same God that allowed the death angel to pass over their house on the Passover and save their firstborn child. They talking to the same God that delivered them from the Babylonians when they were in captivity. They were the same. They talking to the same God that delivered them out of Egypt when they was enslaved. But they talking to that same God. You know, your table is too contemptible, and where is has we despised your name? This is the verses we have. And God turned around in verse 8, he said, and if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is that not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is that not evil? And this is the part I love so much. Y'all look at the next verse, and this is what it says. Offer it now to your government. God is saying, if you are right doing things so haphazardly, and you so all right with giving it any kind of way, he said, let me see you go give it to your government. You see, when I read that, it made me say, because if the government, which is our rules and regulations, whatever they are, we follow it. And we follow it to the letter, or we have instant consequences. If you go in the city hall to pay your property tax, and they say your property tax in reference to people paying tithes and all of that, if they tell you your property tax is thus and so, you don't go there and say, this is what I'm going to give you and this is what you're going to take. But that's the attitude people have with God. They go to church when they get ready. They pay tithes when they get ready. They pray when they get ready. They read and study when they get ready. They help one another when they get ready. And when they don't, they don't. But he said, try giving it to your governor. And look what he said then. Will he be pleased with thee? Will he accept you and accept that from you, saith the Lord? And what I did is I put down a scripture where y'all could go see what how sacrifices was to be made so you could see where God was burdened with the way that they was doing. So if you read Leviticus, the first chapter, it's going to give you the law of burnt offerings, and you could understand, and hopefully you'll read Leviticus and come back and read the scriptures again so the Holy Ghost could illuminate and revelate it in your heart, and you could know. So those scriptures there were saying, God said, your eyes shall see. And what he was still giving them hope, because he was saying, like, hold on. You know, don't despise my name, because I'm working it out for your good. But you got to trust me, because my name will be magnified. What he's telling them, you just as well get the with the program. You see, in the midst of everything that was going on, God was still giving a message of hope. Let us reason here together for a while. A son honored his father, a servant his master. Where's my fear? Here God is talking to the priests. And they all had the audacity to say those things. Where have we despised your name? You see, no matter what God said, everything he gave them was what they was doing, and he had the evidence. You know, when you go to court and they got the evidence speak for itself, and you will be found guilty if the evidence lines up. God didn't, you know, guess what they were doing. He went to them with evidence. He said, when you bring the land and sick and put it on the altar, he said, isn't that evil? Because that's what they did. God came to them with the evidence. And they still had something to say, not owning up or taking a lick. That's how people in Israel is. So that's why I could say with the title of this lesson, there's nothing new under the sun. You see, this sound like some of us. That's why I say it again. There's nothing new under the sun. God charged the priests with failing to honor his name. And he was showing them that they was doing contempt for his name and failing to be good spiritual examples for the people. You see, God had to be worse on the priests, because the priests was the spiritual leaders. The people looked to the priests. And when the priests get slack, the people get slack. That's what's happening with Christians in the world. It looked like the churches is getting slack, the people is getting slack, and it's just getting to slack situations. You see, in Malachi time, the nation leaders had once again fallen away from God, and the people right along with them. The worship of God was no longer heartfelt admiration. Instead, it was simply a burdensome job for the priests. How you like that? God's law requires that only perfect animals be offered. And I hope everyone know why they offered the sacrifices, because of the sin. And you have to know that the sacrifice of the animals upon the altar could not take away the sin. It only covered it up. And because sin separated us from God, God needed a one-time sacrifice. And because he wanted to save mankind, he needed a man. So God allowed himself to come down, to be wrapped up, born by Virgin Mary, to get wrapped up in flesh and born as Jesus, so that he could, for one time, he could become the one-time sacrifice for all-time sin. And just like the sacrifices in the Old Testament had to be perfect without blemish, the man's sacrifice had to be perfect and without blemish. And there was no man born of a man and a woman that could accomplish that goal until Jesus Christ. He was born of a woman but his father was the Holy Spirit. You see, if the offerings, if you was offering a burnt offering from your herd, he told him, let him offer a male. This is Leviticus 1 and 3. I got a scripture, but the whole book of Leviticus tell it. They say, if his offering is a burnt offering of a herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntarily, of his own. Now look at that. Ain't nobody forced you to go. You're going to go, and you're not going to go right. Come on now. But because of the lackadaisicalness of the priests accepting them, they figure they get by like God don't know what's happening. You see, but these priests was allowing the people to offer blind, crippled, and diseased animals to God. God accused them of dishonoring him by offering imperfect sacrifices. And he was greatly displeased. So you see, we could look at it again. God is displeased. You got a little idea why. So he went to his prophet Malachi. He's given a word from to Malachi to give to the people. And that's what we what this lesson is about tonight. So we're going to keep going. God accused them of dishonoring his name. He didn't like it. You see, there's nothing new under the sun. In the New Testament, we are called to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. And you can find that in Romans 12 and 1. It said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. And look what the scripture said, which is our reasonable service. They're not asking you to do nothing that's so impossible, so hard. They say, if you do this, it's only our reasonable service. Then God said, give it to your governors, and I talked about that. But when we look at presenting ourselves as living sacrifice, what he's saying, that's the way we do. That's the way we treat others. That's the way we respect God. That's the way we study and pray. That's the way we tithe. That's the way we give up our resources, our talent, and all of that for the kingdom building. That's how we share what God has given us for the welfare of all. Then you will become a living sacrifice. You know, and we read the part about give it to your governor. That was cool. God said, if it's all right, give it to your governor. And then, you know, he used that, but he could be saying, if it's all right, go to work and do it any kind of way. And see what happens. You don't go to work and do it any kind of way. Come on now. If you're in one of them social clubs, you follow the rules. But you're going to do me any kind of way. God's saying, I don't like it. Whatever laws we are under, we follow them. We give our leftover. Are we giving only... Are we giving God only our leftover time, money, and energy? If we have some leftover, you say, here, God, you could have it. I ain't got time to pray. I can't go to church, and I don't want to read the Bible right now because I don't have time because I have other things to do. But I got 5 minutes while a commercial is on, and if you want it, you could have it. Come on now. Yeah, I know you're supposed to give some money to the church. And I don't start tripping, I'm talking no money thing, because I ain't never asked y'all for no money. But, I mean, it's just common sense. A church building have to pay light, gas, and water. And then, you know, there's no way in hell you could take 300 black people and set them in a building for 2 hours with no air. And air is not free. So the church do need money to operate. I'm not saying how much. I ain't telling you what to do. But I'm just saying what the Word of God says. You see, we repeat the same sins, the same way these worshipers did. They didn't want to bring anything of value to God. You know, when they brought that blind, you know, sacrifice, they had one that could see. And God said, bring males. And he was bringing all of those females. They was doing what the crap they wanted. And that's the same thing people do today. I'm not telling you that you could be perfect, but it's our job to try to be better tomorrow than we are today. You see, what we give to God, it displays and it tells something about you. They tell you where your heart is, your attitude, and what's your intent towards him. And God's not crazy. He's not asleep. Everything we do, God sees. Everything we say, God knows it. What happened? They did it their way, and they expected God to accept it. But I come to tell you tonight, we're not afforded the privilege to make it up as we go. God already established his master plan, and it is all spelled out in his word. Remember this, it's not your plan, but it's God's plan. It's not your will, it is God's will. It is not your way, it is God's way. And if we look at verse 9, 10, we'll see that, and it says, "And now I pray thee, beseech God, that he will be gracious unto us. This has been by your means. Will he regard your person, said the Lord of hosts." Let me read it over. "And now I pray you, beseech God, that he will be gracious unto us. This has been by your means. Will he regard your person, said the Lord of hosts." Now, after God gave them all the evidence, you know people back down. And they saying, now we pray that you'll be gracious with us. You know, now they breaking down humble, you know. And God said in 10, "Who is there even among you that will shut the door for naught," meaning nothing, "neither do you kindle fire on my altar for nothing. I have no pleasure in you, said the Lord of hosts, neither will I accept an offering from your hand." So now they get humble. They realize they done messed up. But that's a good thing to do. Because you see, once you mess up, if you get a little humble and you go in for forgiveness, you know you're going to be all right. Because God designed a way for us to go to him and humble ourselves when we do wrong. You see, as intermediaries between God and the people, the priest was responsible for reflecting God's attitude and character. See, that verse 9 and 10 was the priest, you know, realizing the errors in their ways, and they try to say, "Will you be gracious with us?" And God told them what he told them. They say, accepting imperfect sacrifice, they were leading the people to believe that God accepted those sacrifices. It was okay, and they didn't need to change. You see how your leader could lead you straight to hell? That's why they say you got to know who you're following. The Bible says the blind lead the blind, both going to go in a ditch and fall. You can't be led by anybody and by anything. Them priests was setting them people up to fail. And that's why God talked specifically and directly to them, because they should know better. But God said, "I am not pleased. Again, there's nothing new under the sun." You see, as Christian, we are often in the same position as these priests was, by the way we reflect God to our family and friends. You have to ask yourself right now, what image of God's character and attitude do anyone see in you? You see, if you casually accept sin, you are like the priest in Malachi today. And God is not pleased with us or you. You see, some things we know is wrong, and we turn the other ear, you know, over and over. And really and truly, we just have to learn to do better. God will punish sin, but he's going to do it in his own time. And because he's long-suffering, we take him for granted. if y'all really start studying the Old Testament book, y'all going to see God wasn't nothing nice. God was really nice, but God, when he got, I ain't got to even tell y'all that. I know some stuff y'all know and could think about. When the earth was so sin sick and everybody was doing anything and everything that seemed right in their eyes, God got so burdened, like this scripture say, God was burdened, till he allowed the flood to come and destroy everything on this earth except Noah's wife and his children and their wives. Come on now. God has wrath with him. Wrath. God has punishment in his hand. But like I say, he's long-suffering. And the reason God is holding up, it's because it's perfect desire that all, as many people can be saved, can be saved. Now, isn't that a gracious God? But your sin will catch up with you. We have to stop taking God for granted. And we're not going to be perfect, but we could try harder. We could try harder to line ourselves and get with the things of God. And we're going to read 11 all the way through 11 and 12. And from the rising of the sun even into the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles, and in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the heathens, said the Lord. This is God talking. God said, no matter, well, this is just 11, and I'm saying this, God said, no matter what you say or do, my name going to be great because I ordained it that way, and that's before the foundation of the world. So y'all could get with the program or get not with the program. He said, because I'm the creator and the total and in total control, and it's going to happen. You see, there's a scripture, Romans 14 and 11, which says, as I live, come on now, said the Lord, every knee shall bow unto me, and every tongue shall confess to God. God said, I'm going to get my propers. I'm going to reign in my proper place. My master plan is going to go forth. You're going to be either with me or not. Now, in the plan, I put all of this stuff for you. You could come and get it, or you could leave it there. But my name is going to be great. And I ain't asking you to help me in a sense because I'm going to be great with you or without you. See, you got to realize God expects us to do things and he wants us to do things. And once we do the things, it's not as much for him as it is for us. You see, this theme can be seen throughout the whole Old Testament. It's an infirming the book. And God is saying, my name shall be great among the nations. Not I hope that my name will be great among the nations. You see, God chose the Jews through whom he planned to save and bless the entire world. Today, God still wants to bless the world through all who believe in him. When we became Christians, we became God's chosen nation. Hallelujah. You see, the Jews was the chosen nation, and they just couldn't get it right. Even though they loved God, they could never accept that Jesus Christ was the Savior. And even today, they still, not all of them, but some of them still are looking for the Messiah. They still don't believe that the Messiah has already come. So God said after he got tired of trying to get them to do what he wanted done and they wouldn't do it, he said, I'm going to open the doors to the Gentiles. Because you see, when the doors was open to the Gentiles, the Gentiles wasn't counted in that. They weren't the chosen people. But God is saying right here in his verse that even with the Gentiles, So God opened it up for the Gentiles. And a Gentile is anything other than a Jew. And if you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. And thanks and glory be to God that he opened the door for me and for you. You see, as Christians, we are the chosen people. And our offering to God is our new life in Jesus Christ. Watch this. And I just realized and looked at the time, and I'm going to make it short. Our new life, when we accepted Christ, we got a new life. And if we got a new life, why we don't act like it and still hold on to our old life? Something wrong with that picture. You should learn how to walk in the newness. You are born again. You got a new life in Christ. You see, are you available for God? It's just a question I have to ask. Because there's nothing new under the sun. And the 12th verse say, but ye have profaned it in what you say. The tables of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. Ye say also, that's them talking talking to God. Behold, what a weariness it is. Come on now. And we have sniffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And you bring that which is torn and lame and sick, and you brought an offering. Should I accept it out of your hand, saith the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver which has in his stock a male and vile a sacrifice unto God, corruptible. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathens. God is coming to them with evidence. And everything God going to come to us with, he's going to have evidence of what we did and what we didn't do. You see, here we see them challenging God. Behold, what weariness it is. Some people don't want to accept Christ because they think it's too hard, or they think they have to give up too much, or they're not ready to give up what they know is not pleasing God. You see, God is saying, try me for yourself. See how I'll do. See if I don't open up the windows of heaven and pull you out a blessing you wouldn't have room to receive it. He said, try me, prove me. You see, others think that serving God will make our life easy. But I come to tell you tonight, just because we love the Lord, we will still have trials, tribulations in our lives. But it's never what comes your way. It's who you go through it with. And I encourage you tonight to stop looking for a God of convenience, only calling on him when you need him. Worship had become a burden to the priest. But if serving God is more important than anything else that we must give up, is of little importance to what we will gain: eternal life with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And remember, only what you do for Christ will last. That's my lesson for tonight. I pray that you have more clarity. And I just want you to know that we have to take time, not only in the New Testament, but we have to study the whole Word of God. And that's how God laid that on my heart. But I wanted to break it down. We're going to, I'm not going to hold you because I know it's 8:37, but I have a caller got the one button pressed. And caller, your number is 504-237-000. If you'd like to speak, your mic is open. Hello? Well, maybe they did it by error. If there's anyone that have questions, and, oh, I had this on here, but I passed it up. I wanted you to know about Esau and Jacob. If you go to Genesis in your Bible and you go to the 25th chapter, it starts at the 19th verse, and I think it goes down to the 32nd verse. It's going to tell you everything about Esau and Jacob and how it happened. I can't say everything in our short hour, but I want to introduce some of the things to you. And if anybody have a question, you could press the one button at this time, and I could maybe explain something if you need something explained. If you want to make a comment, you can make a comment. If you want to add something, you can. Caller, your number is 985-774. You may speak. Your mic is open.
Hi, this is Diane. I wanted to know again, I know you just said it, where can I find Esau and Jacob again that I can read more?
Yes, and it's so amazing, and it's so beautiful because it's right there in those few verses, but it's in Genesis, the 25th chapter, the 19th through the 34th verse.
Mm-hmm.
And you
okay,
see,
and also, okay, go ahead.
Go ahead, your turn.
Okay, no, and I thought this was a wonderful lesson, and me, myself, everybody who gives, you know, sometimes we're so fleshly, we sit there and think, okay, we need so much money for ourselves, so sometimes we don't give the first offerings, just like giving a blind, you know, animal or a lame animal. Sometimes we don't give that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Just because
right.
We're flesh, and we don't mean to do it. But after you do it, you do realize it, and you do know it. The Holy Ghost does talk to you about it, but it should be the first. It really should be. It should be no thought at all. This is yours. You gave this to me, so I give you that 10% without even thinking. But as human beings, we do think. We do think and say, oh no, hold a little bit back. And I think that's a lot of the subject matter of tonight. And it's a shame, but we're all made of flesh, and I do it at times too, and I hope nobody else does it. But I mean, I think being out of flesh that we all do it, you know. But I mean, we really should say, you know, you gave this to us, and you should have the first 10% no matter what. And that's hard. And I'm being honest. It's hard at times. It's hard when you're living on a budget. It's hard. You know, it's just hard. But we have to get past that. We have to get past that, and we have to have faith that when we give, he's going to replenish us so much more. And that's all I wanted to say.
Right, and we could think of times in our life when we had no money, and God did 100%,
right.
And you ain't had nothing to give.
Right, right.
You know, we have to reason with this. And even when, and for those who don't know, the thing about tithing is in Malachi, and before some other people hang up, don't remember to read the second chapter next week, because we're going to do the second chapter next week. But God say, prove me therewith, say the Lord of hosts. He say, even if it's hard and you can't see it, try it, and let me show you what I'm working with.
Right.
If you trust him. He say, do it and see what I'm going to do. He ain't failed you yet. He ain't going to make you have need. He ain't gonna. And let me just tell you this. God will never ask anything of anybody that he has not provided the provisions.
Yes.
He wouldn't be a fair God. It wouldn't make sense for him to be asking. You got children. You know you could ask this one for that. You could ask this one for that, but you know you can't ask that one for something because we all different. But God designed each and every one of our lives with the provisions that we have that he wants from us for his kingdom building. Now that's deep, huh?
Yes.
When he, before the foundation of the world, and he said, you know, let me, you know, create Diane McBride. He said, I'm going to give her everything that I want her to have, and I'm going to give her everything that I'm going to need for her to share in the kingdom before the foundation of the world. So you just got to trust him. He's saying, it may be hard, it may be seeming impossible. He said, but try me. He said, try me for yourself. And then we'll see. He said, because I'll open the windows of heaven. He said, and I'll pull you out, blessing you won't have room enough to receive it.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
God don't lie. God don't lie. Thank you so much, Sister McBride.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
And I hope to see you Wednesday if Lord say the same. And remember, y'all, read the second chapter of Malachi. And come with some questions and come with some insights that you could add to the lesson that I might have missed, that by you reading the scriptures, you could bring some insight on. You know, this is our Bible study. This is our Bible study, you guys. Is there any more questions? Anything to be added? Words of encouragement? Anything? And since it's past our time anyway, and forgive me, y'all, I laid down and fell asleep. But, you know, the angel must have woke me up because I could have got up tomorrow about it. I was sleeping so good. But I apologize for that. And I have another caller. Caller, your number is 504-421-44. Your mic is open if you'd like to speak at this time.
Yes, I'm going to try to be very short because God has been so good to me. I could speak 24/7. But talking about Malachi, I can use myself. Years and years ago, I used to have no problem going to the casino. I was trying to find a penny by Peter and pay Paul to go get some money to go spend in the casino. And my daddy was just, oh, he's deceased now. He came in there and got me one day because somebody told him I was in there. To make a long story short, you have to learn from your mistakes. That's the best way to get to know God better. When you make a mistake and you ask God to forgive you and you get closer to the Lord, he reveals stuff to you. Because one day I was in the bed, I was sick, and I said, I'm going to get up and go to the casino. And God said, oh, you're too sick to go to church, but you ain't too sick to go to the casino. And I thank God for all the wisdom and knowledge and understanding that he's providing me, that I understand him better. And I want to share this because it might help somebody. I mean, I went to chemo today. I told Diane last week I may not make it, but I feel great. I thank God for this day. I walked out of the hospital after I got my chemo and went shopping. I thank God.
Hallelujah.
And I thank God for my mother. She brings me to every appointment, every treatment, and she's right there. And I ask God to continue to strengthen her wherever she needs and bless my siblings.
And thank you
and
so much.
And I thank God for just, allowing me to live one day at a time.
That's
with
right.
With him, with Jesus Christ. Not the world, with Jesus Christ.
That's right. Because
I come from a long way, but God never gave up on me, and I know he has something for me to do. And thank y'all, and God bless all of y'all.
Thank you, Sister Cynthia. Is there anyone else who'd like to make a comment or anything on tonight? Well, we're going to go ahead and do the benediction prayer. And I guess after that, even though it's late, I'm going to play some music because last week when I went off, the ladies said they were waiting for the music. So, of course, after the benediction prep, you could hang up if you have something to do. But I want to let you know that Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. That should perk you up to want to hear what God said in the last book in the Old Testament. That should make you want to search it and hear God speaking. Because God ain't talking in the New Testament. Jesus is walking and talking. But God is not. So Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. That should give some of you inspiration and want to really check it out. But besides that, I'm going to go ahead and do the benediction prayer. And I'll play the music because some people ask for it. And see y'all next week if the Lord said the same. We're going to be in Malachi, the second chapter. And if anybody would like to pray, I'm going to still give the opportunity. You could press the one button on your phone and you could lead us out in prayer. Well, since no one pressed, let me ask Cynthia. Cynthia.
Yes.
Could you lead us out in prayer tonight?
Sure. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. Do open.
Oh, okay. Oh, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this night, Lord. Lord, thank you for the anointing on Minister Adams that she's delivering your word to us, breaking it down where we can understand it, and just craving for more food, more dessert, Lord. We love you, and we can't do without you, Lord. Lord, continue to bless our homes and protect us, Lord, from all hurt, harm, and danger. All these blessings I ask in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much. I received that prayer. And I'm going to do the benediction, because there's blessings in a benediction.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll play the song. May the Lord be with us until we meet again. Lord, help us to grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And let the church say amen. And that's our program for tonight. I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. And I want you to read Malachi. Go back and review the first chapter. Read Genesis 25:19-34. And read the first chapter of Leviticus so you could be right in your place, in the place on Wednesday night with more wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and truth. God loves you, and so do I. And I just encourage you to be encouraged.
Encourage yourself.
How many people are encouraged tonight?
That's our program for tonight. If it's the Lord's will, I'll see you next week, same time, same place, and on time. Be blessed. Good night.